my people outside of the church, the people who I've called that haven't answered. They have a Nicodemus spirit. You know, my people, they know me as teacher. They know me as deliverer. They know me as healer. They call upon my name. They know me, Lord. They know me as Lord. They know me as Father. They know me as Son. They know me as Holy Spirit. They know me for everything that I can do for them. They know me for everything that I do for them. But they don't know my kingdom inside of them. They don't understand spiritually what they can do through me. They don't understand the power. They don't understand the dominion. They don't understand the authority that I have impregnated them with. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You see, Nicodemus was a ruler. He was part of the government of Israel, the Sanhedrin. And he had power over men. He had authority with men. He understood the birth line. He knew the lineage. He knew the seed, and he understood how the bloodline made its way to the king of Israel through the Davidic line. He had understanding of the physical kingdom. The way he saw it, I mean, he was part of the kingdom. He was the kingdom. And they were all waiting for the Messiah to come. But as far as they were concerned, they were just waiting on their king. And so when Jesus was talking about being born again, he had a hard time with that. He couldn't grasp the concept. He had no spiritual understanding whatsoever about the kingdom of God. And that was because the kingdom had yet to be conceived inside of him. Nicodemus recognized Jesus as rabbi. He called him rabbi. He said, teacher. And Jesus said, basically, he told him, you have no spiritual understanding of the kingdom of God because you wouldn't call me that. You see, Jesus established that the kingdom is spirit, it is power, it is authority, it is dominion. 1 Corinthians 4 and 20, it says, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Sister Dawn, I have some of the scriptures down. Some of them I don't, so just try to follow me as you can. I appreciate it. Psalms 145 verse 10, it says, all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord. And the saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. To make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. You see, the kingdom of God, it is the government of God on this earth. You know, we can't go through school, high school, middle school. We can't go through school without learning about the government of the United States. It's something that every child, every citizen, every person who lives in the United States and goes through the school system, it's something that they learn about. They have to know it. They have to answer questions. They have to take tests and pass the tests in order to graduate and go to the next level. You see, government, it's a particular, according to Webster, it's a particular system used for controlling a country, state, etc. The continuous exercise of authority over and the performance of functions for a political unit or rule. It's the organization, machinery, or agency through which a political unit exercises authority and performs functions, and which is usually classified according to the distribution of power within it. You're going to hear a lot of keywords here like power, authority, rule, dominion. In Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, we see the prophetic come forth through Isaiah speaking of Jesus. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it. There's another key word, order. And to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And we're going to see this in the New Testament in the structure of the fivefold ministry. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, verse 11, he says, Paul says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. And the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The fullness of Christ includes his power, his authority to exercise in this earth, in this realm, in this life. And this is what Nicodemus just couldn't comprehend. God established or conceived his kingdom and government through the flesh, first in the natural realm. You know, it was God's intention for man to have dominion and authority and power. And I'll prove it to you. We can go all the way back to Genesis, pretty much the starting place for everything that you could ever really teach or preach out of the Bible, with Adam and Eve. We look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, created him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, and have dominion. And he starts with the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air, but then he says something right here, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. It doesn't say some things. It says if it breathes, if it moves on the earth, that's what we have dominion over. That was the intention of God when he created Adam. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That breath of life was the Spirit of God. That's what Jesus was trying to talk to Nicodemus about that he just couldn't comprehend. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress, and the word dress there also means to work it and to keep. And the word keep means guard, watch, have charge of, to observe it. Amen. That word keep, it's the same word that was used and interpreted watchman, referring to the office of the prophet in the book of Isaiah, chapter 21 and verse 11, and 62 and 6. God was thinking of ministry, order, government, dominion, authority, ever since the beginning. He put it in Adam. Amen. In verse number 19, it says, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air. This is good. And brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. You know, when you establish order, we've had scientists for 100 years trying to establish order and classify the things, the organisms, everything that lives and breathes on this earth. They've been trying to classify it and put it into order, establishing government in each of the classes to find out who's on top, who's on bottom, where does the transfer come from, who eats who gets eaten. But God did this with Adam ever since the beginning. He walked every animal by him. He said, Adam, what do you call him? What do you name this? That's government. That's authority. If you can name stuff, you've got some power. Amen? Hallelujah. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. See, God knew, I need to establish my kingdom. But Adam can't reproduce on his own. So, God established his government in Adam, and through Adam, his government established order. And wherever there is government, you will begin to see things align themselves in order. We have the same commission as Adam to dress, work, and keep watch over God's garden. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." So God conceived Eve and took her out of Adam. And the Lord God called, and this is verse 21, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs, he reached into Adam, broke his flesh," because right here it says, "and closed up the flesh instead thereof," broke his flesh, and I'm sure there was blood, unless God cauterized everything that, when, and he might have, because of the power that he had, pulled out a rib that he'd taken from man, he made him a woman and brought her unto the man. You see, this parallels Jesus and the church. His bride was conceived through Christ. There's correlations of that in the scripture all over the place. And see, God through Eve filled the earth with the kingdom spirit that was breathed into Adam. Problem is they fell. They fell, they sinned through disobedience. But let's take a look at what he says here. He says, Genesis 17 and 6, he says, "And I will make thee exceed..." Oh, I'm sorry. Let's go on and let's take a look at how God filled the earth with the kingdom seed, or with the kingdom spirit, to establish his government. Even though Adam had fallen, he did this to give us a pattern, to show us how this was supposed to work. And this is what Nicodemus understood. This was the life of Nicodemus. He understood it word for word, precept upon precept. He had it. He understood the law, and he understood how the law came into being. In Genesis chapter 7 and 6, we can look at Sarah and Abraham. Sarah was a barren woman, mind you, and they had Isaac. And he says, "And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, and the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And I will bless her, and I will give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her." Government, authority, dominion, the kingdom of God. Let's look at Rebekah and Isaac. Rebekah was barren too. They had Jacob in Genesis chapter 35 and 10. "And God said unto him, Thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty, be fruitful and multiply." That sounds familiar. That's the same vein, that's the same string that God ordered through Adam and Eve. It's the same government that he established through Adam and Eve. "Be fruitful and multiply, a nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins." Hallelujah. Let's look at Rachel and Leah and their handmaids and Jacob. Let's see how this continues down the line. 12 tribes of Israel were conceived through them, but through Rachel was Joseph and Benjamin born. Like Sarah, Rebekah, and Rachel, we were all barren. Like Nicodemus, we were all barren until the Lord made a deposit in us. Hallelujah. Can we just give thanks for God that he made a deposit in us? Those of us that have had the deposit. And if you haven't had the deposit, I want you to know right now, you need to have the deposit. You need to have the Spirit. You need to be impregnated with the Spirit of God. You have to. If you're going to overcome and have authority and have dominion on this earth the way that God intended, you have to have the deposit. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's talk about Joseph for a second. Now, this comes from the barren place, the barren womb of Rachel. This young man named Joseph, he had a dream that his parents and brothers bowed down before him. His brothers sought his life for it. He was sold to the Midianites instead of killed like they originally wanted to. They then sold him to the Egyptian captain of the guard. He was given favor by God in his house. He was set up and arrested by the captain's wife. He was given favor by God in the jail. He was given prophetic interpretation of dreams twice. He was given the Pharaoh's ring, which symbolized power, and then was given dominion over all of Egypt. I said he was given dominion over all of Egypt. Watch this. In Genesis 41, in chapter 41 and verse 40, he said, "Thou shalt be," this is the Pharaoh speaking to Joseph, "Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt." And I have to tell you, this is the pattern that God has intended for his people, okay? We come from a barren place, but God makes a deposit inside of us. And we begin to have authority and dominion when it's developed in us. And in the middle of Egypt, when our brothers, our sisters, our friends, our family, they want to kill us. They want to kill what's inside of us because they don't understand it like Nicodemus, okay? But in the middle of all that, he will exalt, he will raise you up. He will give you strength, power, and authority to overcome all things and set you up in the middle of Egypt. Does anybody believe that in here? My God, my God, my God. The kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Set your people up in the midst of Egypt. Hallelujah. Yikamal. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is what I'm talking about. Let's look at Moses, Jochebed. Moses was born to lead the people out of Egypt. Hannah, she was barren too. Here comes Samuel on the scene. Samuel the prophet, he judged Israel, and because the people rejected God as their king. God had Samuel establish and anoint the first king of Israel, who was Saul. Through that came David. And through David, getting together with Bathsheba, came Solomon. And Solomon built the first temple of the Lord. Glory to God. See, Nicodemus, he knew all this. But Jesus was trying to tell him, this is what I've come. I've come to do what Solomon did in the flesh. I've come to build up my temple in my people. I've come to erect my temple and establish my government in my people. Hallelujah. Next, we can take a look here at how God established or conceived his kingdom and the government through the Spirit. You see, Nicodemus should have known who Jesus was. He knew of the prophets, and I think he had an idea. I think he had an idea. That's why he ran to him in the middle of the night, and he asked him secretly, aside. He hid from all of the other Sanhedrin, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and he asked him. But he should have known when he seen Jesus performing the miracles, especially since he knew who John was. See, John came before Jesus and spoke of Jesus. And then here comes Jesus, who confirmed and manifest every word that John spoke and prophesied. But let's take a look at Elizabeth, another barren woman, and Zacharias, who had John, Luke chapter 1, verse 7. And they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. Verse 13. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness." That's the kingdom. "And many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb." Glory to God. Glory to God. "And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Glory to God. And let's take a look at Mary. This is the ultimate example of how God established and fulfilled his kingdom on this earth and wants to do it in each one of us. Mary was a virgin. And as a virgin, the Lord spoke to her and made a promise to her. But more than that, well, let's read the scripture. "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Hallelujah. So, you see, Mary was impregnated by the Holy Spirit. There was a deposit made in Mary. And if we can get this, you see, it was developed inside of her for 9 months. She carried it. And then she delivered it. And that is what the Lord does inside of each one of us. That's what he desires to do inside of each one of us. That's what he desired to do in Nicodemus, but he couldn't understand that. You see, Jesus died on the cross so that the Spirit could be poured out. John 16 and 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away." Peter got rebuked for this. He said, "Lord, Lord, you can't go anywhere." He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you." Whew. My God. "But if I depart, I will send him unto you." This is a promise. And maybe some of us don't know what the Comforter is. Okay, let's go to John chapter 14 and 26. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." You see, Paul had a great understanding of this. We go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. "Now he which established us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." You see, the earnest, by definition, is money which in purchases is given as a pledge or a down payment that the full amount will subsequently be paid. So he made a deposit of his Spirit, the Comforter, inside of us. Everybody who has been baptized with the indwelling, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, has a deposit inside of you of the Holy Ghost, of the kingdom, of the power, of the authority. Ha. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's right. Give it a shout. I mean, act like you're excited about it. You know, act like you're thankful for it. Let them know. Let a spirit of gratefulness come into this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, what Jesus was trying to tell Nicodemus, this is what you don't understand. I'm going to sacrifice my body. Okay, here's the Mother's Day twist to this. Because all you mothers know this very well. I'm going to sacrifice my body. I'm going to suffer excruciating pain. I'm going to be scarred for eternity. My side is going to be pierced, and blood and water are going to flow from my body. And this is all the same way as when a woman gives birth to a child. He was saying, I'm going to pour out my spirit on this earth and in man, and in everyone that believes in me, I'm going to deposit my spirit in them. My government, my power, my authority, my dominion will be established, developed, and delivered through them. As Eve was taken from Adam, so has the church been birthed through Christ. Jesus was pierced, and the blood and water flowed from his side, the same place where Adam, where the rib was taken from Adam. Remember, Adam and Eve were created to establish God's government on earth. Genesis chapter 1 and 28, let me remind you. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. You see, where Adam and Eve sinned through disobedience and gave up power and dominion, Jesus birthed the church, his bride, in order to restore dominion, authority, power, order, and reestablish the kingdom of God on earth through we who believe. Amen. Amen. Again, Paul has some understanding for us in chapter 1 verse 15, because this might be a little hard for us to understand, but I want you to understand that I'm coming out of the book here, and Paul spoke especially to this in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 21. He says, for since by man, which is Adam, came death, by man, which is Jesus, came also the resurrection of the dead. And I don't know about you, but the resurrection is nothing but power, authority, government, dominion, okay? And that's what we're looking forward to. If there's no resurrection, our faith is absolutely in vain, and we're doing this for absolutely no reason. This is a joke, if that's the case. But every man, verse 23, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are at Christ that is coming, then cometh the end, when he shall deliver up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And when all things shall be subdued by him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Verse 34. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God, Nicodemus. I speak this to your shame, but some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Do you hear it? Hallelujah. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, Nicodemus, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. He was made from the earth, formed from the dust of the earth. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And is the earthy. Such are they also that are earthy. Jesus told him, what is born of flesh is flesh. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Glory to God. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit corruption. And he goes on to begin to describe the second coming, the return of our Lord and Savior. He says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep or die, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on corruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Can we all stand, please? Amen. O death, where is thy sting? Hallelujah. O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Glory to God. Can we just pray? I want everybody to pray for each other and those that they know that don't have the Holy Spirit, those that have the Holy Spirit. I want to pray very specifically, though. I want to pray that the kingdom, that the seed that has been planted, I want to pray that the deposit is developed and delivered, and that order and the kingdom authority begins to operate in each one of our lives. Hallelujah. Let's start. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you. I praise you. I worship you, Lord. I pray. I know that you've made a deposit into some people in this place. I know that you have yet, and you're going to, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I speak it in the name of Jesus, that you're going to make a deposit. And I know the intention of that deposit, Lord God. I speak to it right now. In the name of Jesus, I command it to be developed. I command that every attack, every wall, every stronghold that has ever been erected to keep it from being developed, Lord God, I command them to come down in the name of Jesus right now. I command them to be destroyed, and I command it to be delivered in your time, Lord God, in order, in government, in authority, in dominion, and in power, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you believe it, if you want it, clap to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Grace and peace unto you. Greet everybody with a smile. Happy Mother's Day. Amen.